The Average Network takes you again to Count Richard Cheney's Batcave beneath the tourist-infected streets of Washington, D.C. This is the 60th official episode of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World. Along with Count Cheney, we find Rumsfeld and the living head of Dr. Henry Kissinger awaiting the president's arrival.
You went over very well with the NRA, Master.
They are not a difficult group to please, Rumsfeld. They are devoted to killing. We have much in common.
Including the glowing red eyes.
It seems to have something to do with copious quantities of alcohol, rather than my, condition. I like guns, of course. I like anything that kills. But guns are rather inconvenient. You kill someone, you have to go to them to feed. Then if they die before you reach them, so many vitamins and minerals are lost. Guns are fine for wars and for hunting.
Hunting is nice.
The tribulations of semi-eternal life, eh, Richard?
We are absolutely certain of the NRA vote, Henry. And with the Sharon concessions last week, we are assured the religious right and some of the Jewish
vote. You want to get mine.
Henry!
Richard, I can't bring myself to vote for a dolt and a vampire. I have some standards.
Oh, I won't believe that, Doctor.
You are a very twisted little creature, Rumsfeld. I was thinking of voting for Ralph Nader.
And you accuse poor Donald of being twisted. A vote for Nader is a vote for George and I. Have we a short circuit, Donald?
No, Masters. It's the George-o-meter. He must be on the way down. Ah, Ashcroft and Ridge are with him. I can take that to the bank.
Look up there, George. He's watching us again.
Well, we installed that a couple of weeks ago. If the villagers come after Count Cheney, he'll have enough time to escape.
Huh.
Hey, Dick!
Conference Dick. Cavern, sir.
Here, Tom, squeeze past the Alexander Haig Memorial. Well, I'm glad it's soundproofed. He sure doesn't look happy.
Yeah, Dick
in
says
there.
He'll die eventually. Hey, Dick.
George.
John, Henry.
Thomas. Hello,
John.
Gentlemen.
Heidi, Henry.
Hi, everybody.
Daddy's Village.
Good to see you all.
It is. Uh-oh.
No, it really is. Make yourselves comfortable.
And these plastic skull chairs again?
They cut off my circulation, dagnabbit.
Do the best you can. George, Lasco's inane commercials are working as planned.
Yes, your numbers are improving a bit, but they're still in the danger range.
Danger range? Ashcott Pictures, 1932. Herman Bricks and Jacqueline Wells.
Down, Ashcroft. I meant dangerous territory.
Dangerous territory. Monogram, 1936. Bob Steele and Hal Taliaferro.
I meant George's numbers need strengthening.
Let's see you get a movie title out of that.
We'll try.
Well, we ain't giving him no steroids.
George, what have steroids to do with anything?
You said it. His numbers need strengthening.
Well, I prayed on it a bunch. John thinks we ought to hang Bob Woodward.
Woodward, George. You talk to him. I refused. What has Woodward to do with steroids?
If he's taking them things, I won't waste a noose on him. Just shoot him.
Well, I don't remember old Rugrat.
Woodward, sir.
Woodrat, saying nothing about steroids. He mostly wants to talk about 9/11 and Saddam.
Forget the steroids. Have you still got Powell under control?
Yep, you's right, Henry. He follows orders real good.
Once a soldier, always a soldier.
Well, I still don't like him.
I share your distaste, Ashcroft.
Well, Colin's okay, fellas. Really, he is.
Nevertheless, Thomas, he shall have to find new employment by next February.
Washer won't miss him.
You'll forget him soon enough, sir.
Yeah, I'm good that way. In the meantime, I've had Condi talk to him. He'll stick to his Woodward denials.
Well, how come he's so loyal anyway?
If everyone finds out he supported such a totally twisted administration, his job future becomes rather bleak.
That's why we have to win in November, sir. If there are ever investigations, we'll all hang. And we can take that to the bank, too.
Don, that isn't very reassuring.
But it does express our seriousness, Thomas.
That's why I'm also waiting with my gun and my rope, just in case.
After all, Thomas, you don't think we'd take on someone as deranged as Ashcroft unless we really needed him.
Well, that's right, by gobs. You sure we can trust Condi?
Of course. She called you her husband, didn't she?
I think she needs a vacation.
Maybe a day or two. There's been some talk, you know.
Talk about what?
Well, you and Condi and Laura.
No way! She don't even like cartoons. She's always hanging out with us, George.
I'm certain she's merely attracted by your power. After all, women were even attracted to Henry once, weren't they?
The State Department was awash with goobies in my day.
Well, I don't want to think about that, by gobs.
No, that's too creepy.
We gonna talk about money? This thing you emailed me said we gotta talk about money.
Do I really want to?
I doubt it. Orasco called me earlier. So far, we've raised $186 million.
Orasco says we've spent $99 million in the last.
So we got $177 million left, huh? That's pretty good.
That ain't right. No, sir. We spent $99 million out of $186 million. That means we've got $87 million left.
George. However did you get an...
His father and I bought it for him, then got Western States Energy to pay for
it. Nice touch.
Mr. President, if we continue to spend as we have, the re-election campaign will be broke by the middle of June.
Well, we just raise some more.
Tricky, George. Very tricky.
We are proscribed, George. The RNC can continue to raise money, but we're stuck thanks to McCain.
Well, that's why we don't like McCain, huh?
One of the reasons, certainly. McCain's one of those Vietnam whiners. He's better than we are because he spent 7 years in a concrete shoebox.
He's pitiful. I was in the Air Force once. It wasn't my fault we weren't at war.
Of course it wasn't, Donald. It was Eisenhower's fault. He didn't like war. He liked golf. Yuck, all that sunlight.
You know, fellas, Vietnam was kind of rough. I was there,
and
you
we
know.
Appreciate your never mentioning it, dear boy.
Thanks,
the money. The RNC will be able to take up the slack, won't
they? They'll need to raise $100 million between now and November. And some of those other candidates will want some, too.
Greedy ruffians. Best make it $140 million to be safe.
I asked Mark about $200 million to be on the safer side.
Well, what did he say?
He said he thinks it's impossible. He thinks even another $100 million will be tough.
We've been tapping everyone too long and too deeply. We should have prepared a Saudi and Kuwaiti slush fund. If we try it now, it would be impossible to hide it.
We can still worm a bit through, but in 50s and 100s, it'll take forever, of course. Even for the first 10 minutes.
And look suspicious as all get out.
Both good points, but I've warned you. Nixon found that money is a complication that is difficult to hide. George, what if we knock your father off? Do you stand to inherit anything?
Wow, no. Neil watches that stuff.
Your father lets your brother Neil handle his finances?
Yeah, so I'm about not wanting to spoil
us. Your father is an optimist?
Well, you can write off any money from there, Henry. I look at Neil's old Silverado savings and loan books. That boy's as crooked as a barbed wire fence after a twister, by God.
You won't be spoiled on that count, George.
Well, that's good. I'd rather be tough anyway. You sure you don't want to bump off my dad? Well, I wouldn't
he
mind.
Talks funny. Talks like that there liberal, Mr. Rogers.
Poor Mr. Rogers is dead, John.
Serves him right. Liberals ought to die. Make way for real Americans.
And yes, that's my ruling.
For allies, I have these. I should have listened to my mother and become a mad scientist.
Well, I gotta get back to the Oval Office. Got something important to do. Gotta talk to God some more. Come on, Tom. Come on, Ashcroft.
You do that, George. Have a nice chat.
And later this cartoons and pie.
Yeah. Well, okay, but I can't stay too long, George.
Are you ever going to tell him that it's you talking through the ventilator shaft?
Of course not. He looks so pathetic and hopeful kneeling on the floor, praying to the ventilator. Let him go on thinking it's a hymn. Meanwhile, I shall sing to him the music of the right.
The Phantom of the Oval Office. Catchy.
Uh-huh. Episode 60 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, was written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network. Count Chaney was portrayed by the late George MacReady. Rumsfeld was portrayed by the late Dwight Fry. John Ashcroft was portrayed by the late Walter Brennan. All other celebrities were portrayed by Mrs. Easton's remedial reading class at Ward Cleaver Elementary School, Kaiser Hollow, Pennsylvania. This is Pablo T. Flies for the Average Network, running up the flagpole and hoping you'll salute.